I missed his hand this last time playing.
Can I have a group hug with Hannah? Just so you know.
We are so, so glad everyone is here. Let's do this. Let's just go ahead and pray and get into this.
He's like, stop.
James.
I can talk about me all day long.
That's right. And James Petorius.
You don't see James squared up before, it's just James.
Okay. Oh, sorry. So sorry. Okay, James 5. We're so glad you're here. We've been in a series about James, and this is probably the last thing we're going to talk about with James. Aw, the epistle of straw. So sad to see you go. James 5:12. We'll say this, and then we'll say a prayer. But above all, my brothers, and you could also say my sisters, do not swear. Okay, now that's not so much cussing, although you should not do that as well. Do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall into condemnation. We will talk about three different ways. We're tempted to let our yes be no and our no be yes. We're tempted to stretch the truth. We're going to talk about that. I don't mean to step on your toes, but it will happen, and I'm talking to myself as well. Okay, so please don't think I'm signaling any one person out in particular, because this one's a toughie. This is something we all do. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit we'd understand it better. Lord, this is a toughie. I pray, God, that you'd give us the grace to hear it and to respond well. In Jesus' name, amen. So, okay. James 5, above all, brothers, do not swear. Hope he's okay. Either by heaven or by earth. Do not swear. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. So I guess that means, okay, a couple things here. You shouldn't go to court and put your hand on the Bible, right? And say, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but, right? He just said it. And if you join the military, if somebody in here is, I don't know, you should not swear to the Constitution. You're going to do that. Don't do that, right? That's what James is talking about, right? Or even if you use your debit card, once you get a little bit older, they give you a receipt and here, sign this. Well, really, it's a credit card. You shouldn't do that either, right? That's what he's talking about, because you're swearing, you're promised to pay that amount. So that's what James is talking about, right? Don't do that. Not quite. I know, somebody's disappointed in that one. James is talking about something else. And if you believe in Jesus, you're supposed to be different from the world. This is something about the truth. Our relationship to the truth is supposed to be rock solid. We're supposed to be the type of people who don't have to swear. That's James' point. He's quoting Jesus. Your personality should be such that people don't question you and go, you promise? You swear? That's what he's talking about. You should be such of the truth that people don't have to go, I don't know about that. So how about this? This is, what is this? Anybody really love history in here? No?
I guess so. I mean, I wouldn't say I love it, but I don't
mind
it.
Okay, anyway.
This past year.
Anybody know anything about the Boxer Rebellion of 1899?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I read all about
that. Okay, cool. Here's what happened. I'm sure you heard one view of it. Here's how it started. In Denver, Colorado, 1899, some newspaper reporters are all gathered together, and they're like, we need a story. The weekend edition's coming out. We have nothing. It's Friday night. We could lose our jobs if we don't have a big story. I got one. Let's just make up something. And then the other guy, I was going, that, shouldn't do that. So I'll go to a bar that night, and they sit down and concoct this plan. Okay, well, all right, seriously, we're going to lose our jobs if we don't do this. Make it something that's going on in China, nothing in our backyard, because people will investigate and find out that we lied. So let's just say something's happening in China, something big, something global, right? Okay, all right. And, you know, they start feeling the effects of the alcohol, and they start, okay, how about this? There's some engineers who came in and stayed at that hotel, they pointed across the street, and they talked about how they wanted their commission by the Chinese government to take down the Great Wall of China. Let's make that up. And we'll go over across the street, and we'll sign four fake names. They stayed in that hotel. They're here to do that. Let's do it. And they remember now, alcohol plays a part in this. And they go, I don't know if that'll... Can we pull that off? Yeah, yeah. Just tell them they want to take the wall down because they want to welcome more... They want to make it like an olive branch. We want to be friends with the world now, right? We're not so enclosed. Although walls are good things. I'm just kidding. So they run with that. And it spreads like wildfire. And it gets back to China. China! It gets back to China. It gets back to China that they're going to take down the wall and that there are four engineers who stayed in Denver who were commissioned to do this. And they're like, we didn't even sign up for that. What are you talking about? Meanwhile, a secret society within China called the... It's awesome. It's like the international... It's seriously, it's called like the International Society of Thists or something like that. They're like renegades.
Yeah.
So what they do is they're like, well, the government's not going to do anything. Let's just go into the embassies of every foreign country and just get to kill it. And they did. 12,000 missionaries, foreign dignitaries, all this other stuff. So guess what happens? The foreign dignitaries, the government, send their people, and there's a fight in China. All because four guys sat down and said, you really need to sell paper. It was a huge deal, 1899 to 1900. It's called the Boxing Revolution because of the fists. They called themselves the Fist. No, Enlightened Fist or something like that. If you want to start a squad name, that's pretty good. The Society of Enlightened Fists. That's what it was, seriously. So anyway, all that to say, we better watch how we say, you know, what we say, the truth and all that. I'm not saying you're going to set off some international rebellion, but do realize that your words have power.
So we know that it was because four men wanted to make a story?
Right. Mm-hmm. And it started an international... I mean, this is before the internet, so somebody probably could have gotten on Twitter and be like, hey, just kidding, JK. Yeah, horrible thing. James is writing to people, Christians, who have realized there's real benefits of not being truthful. So that's why he writes this. Yes, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Remember, they're being persecuted. You could fall under persecution. So what they did was they would stretch the truth if it benefited them. James is writing to people who, while speaking the truth, would not benefit him. Kind of like stretching it a little bit would. He says here, there will be condemnation for those who have a weird relationship with the truth. Tonight we're going to talk about a few ways this affects us. Again, I'm only trying to bring this out of the darkness into the light, because we're all of us, to one degree or another, are guilty of the following ways we don't handle the truth well. Here's one. Number one. Yeah, I'd love to do that. Waits till the last second. I'm sorry, I have this family thing to do. I can't. All of us in here have either done this or had this done to us once or twice or maybe a bunch of times. Inwardly happy that you didn't have to do the thing you'd planned. This could be chalked up to a lot of stuff. You could even say that you're an introvert, big crowds aren't your thing, or that you don't want to disappoint them when they asked you, or whatever it might be. But the end result is your yes was not your yes, and your no was not your no. Yeah, anybody ever been there before? I've done this before.
Yeah, I think I have.
I've done this before. Yeah, that sounds fun. Let's do that. And Friday rolls around. Oh, I don't want to do that. I got this family thing. Bye. Okay, I'm saying that's letting your yes actually be no. Something darker and sinister behind it. But just to let you know that you're not the only one who's done this or had this done to you. So I moved schools from South Aiken to Aiken. And I had this lab partner in biology too. Her name is Brooke, and I'm so sorry, Brooke, if Brooke hears this. She was like, I think she felt bad for me. We were dissecting feral pigs, which I don't think they do anymore. But do they still do that? Feral pigs?
I dissected a pig last week.
Okay, they do. Okay.
They do cats in South Aiken.
Oh.
That's high quality, though. Yeah, our anatomy class does cats. Okay. Biology does frogs and pigs.
We were messing with, we were doing the pigs. She's right beside me. She's feeling bad for me. And she goes, Aiken's making coming. It's coming up. It's coming up in 2 weeks. You want to go? Yeah! Love it! So we get back to the pig. And literally, I'm supposed to go over to her house at 11. It's 10:40 and she calls. And I said, hey, I can't do it. I'm sorry. So it was like 10 days in between that. And I here's how cold-hearted this was. I actually heard her start to kind of like, not really sniffle, but like there's some like, oh, man, I'm bummed. Okay, bye. I did that Napoleon Dynamite. Oh, see you later. It's kind of mean.
Why did you say no?
I just didn't want to do it. That's just simply it. I didn't want to do it. So I chickened out. Sure, I'd love to go. It's a common thing, but just because it's common doesn't mean it's okay. So what's behind that? I don't know. Somebody will Google. What's behind that? Something actually of a spiritual nature is behind that. Yeah, you can uncover this from the pattern. It's this. And I'm speaking to myself here, okay? Self-absorption. You ask why did I do it? I did it because of self-absorption. It wasn't what I wanted to do. But at the moment when she asked me, I didn't want her disapproval. So I said, sure. 10 days later, no. Okay, I'm comfortable with not having your approval right now, so I'll say it. So self-absorption, that's what's behind it. You absolutely don't care for the other person in that moment. You're only thinking of you and your comfort zone. This type of thing conveys that you really don't like the person, really. That's what it conveys. It says, hey, I really want your approval. I just don't want your presence. Ooh, burn. It's hard saying that. Hey, I really want your approval. I really don't want your presence, though. Proverbs 6:12 says this, a worthless person, a crooked man, goes about with crooked speech. A worthless person goes about with crooked speech. So you're kind of like, you're doing these little, you know, you're doing gymnastics with what you say. That's actually pretty dark when you think of it like that. There's far less drama and less hurt if you're just honest and go, you know, I would rather not do that. However, you know, in a week or so or something like that, if, you know, something else, another setting, I'd be cool with that. I'm just not, you know, there'd be far less drama, far less guilt, far less all that other stuff if you're just honest. How dare you, 1995, Fred. Go back in time. So anyway, let me just add this too. The Netflix generation where it kind of like hermits are glorified, where you just stay in all day. I'm not saying that's a sin. I get that. Sometimes you just rather be home. I get that. However, if it leads to this yes-no thing, there's a problem. Let that be a dashboard light of your soul. Something's going on here. There's some flickering saying, got a problem. Got a problem. What is it? You're self-absorbed right now. You said yes there, now you're saying no. You don't really care about that person. You just want their approval. That's what's going on right there. But when it comes to the point of welcoming and then avoiding, that's a warning light. So question number one, on average, this is rhetorical, don't answer it. On average, do you stick with your plans? Or do you fight the temptation to sometimes bail when you realize it's something you'd rather not do? Do you stick with your plans? I'm not saying if grandma gets sick in Augusta and you've got to go there. That's something totally different. But do you stick with your plans? No, don't!
Fred's grandma got sick.
God calls us to be a people of truth, not deception. So what's going on when you lie or stretch the truth? What's going on? You are supposed to mirror God to an onlooking world. And what you're saying actually is that God lies. God isn't truthful. That's what you're saying with your words. So anyway, here we go. All right, number two. Here's the second thing. The allure, he's holding a fake fish. The allure of exaggerating the truth. That's another way we have a weird relationship with the truth. We exaggerate it sometimes, particularly when someone comes at us in a critical spirit. We think it's critical, and we stretch them as the bad guy, and we make us more and more the good guy. That's another dashboard light. Something's not right with your soul right now. Something's not right. Jesus wants us to be people who make their word rock solid, where you don't even have to say, you swear? That's what James is getting at. Don't swear, because you should already be the person whose truth is like rock solid. A bunch of people won't go, he's lying. So anyway, you don't want to be looked at as, well, consider the source. That might be stretching the truth a bit. I'm really talking about here is this, misrepresenting the tone of a critic, what they might have said to us, implying a forcefulness that really wasn't there. Let me just be real with you. I hate using examples of myself. Like, this is the second one. I'm sorry. But I just got through with a preaching class, and it was the toughest thing in the world. Not necessarily the professor. He was cool. It was the other students, because every time you get up there to talk, they have a grading sheet. And they write all the thoughts they have about you up there, your physical presence, how you said things, southern accent, whatever it might have been. They write it and they turn it into you. So guess what I did? I know that guy is a liberal Anglican. Of course he's not going to like me saying that. Of course he's going to want me to be all about God's love and nothing else but that. There's no justice in his theology. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? He wouldn't know good preaching if he even... See what I did there? I stretched and made me the good guy, the martyr. And that they don't know what they're talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So anyway, at the end of the semester, we had a good, hey, you're a really good preacher, to the other guy. Hey, you know, and we all admitted to each other, yeah, I kind of felt the same way when I looked at your paper. And I felt the same way when I looked at your paper. So it's kind of cool how that works out. So anyway, all that went through a filter. All that went through a filter. You need people. You need people bad. Lots of people who are willing to balance that filter out. You and I need people in our lives to stop us from going off the rails into Crazyville. Our thoughts will take us to that place. We will stretch the details. We will make us and everyone as good as possible and everyone as bad as possible. Naturally, without a lot of people in your life, that's what you're going to do. I am the perfect person. They are the really bad guys. Now, hear me out. There are times where you are the victim. Okay, I'm not saying that. That is true. That happens. But for the most part, you have a nature in you that sees yourself as the victim, them as the bad guy. Good people in your life kind of stop that. Number three, hear me out. There are times when you will be the victim, though. Not meaning to minimize that at all. But just think about Christ. Christ was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as he's being led, did he talk about the people who were pushing him off to slaughter? Did he say, oh my goodness, I'm the innocent victim. They are just horrible people. He didn't. He went there silently. That's a good cue for us. How do you handle it when the critics come? How do you do that? Okay, so let's see here. I'm not even saying you can't stretch a good story with it. I'm not saying that you can't even use a little bit of exaggeration. You can use that in your storytelling, whatever you're doing. There's nothing inherently sinful about that, because the Bible does that. It says that all of Judea came to John the Baptist at the Jordan River. Did literally every person who lived in Judea come to John the Baptist at the Jordan River? No. What the Bible writer's trying to say is a large chunk of people, the majority of the population. So exaggeration is not the sin. It's just exaggeration of us and them. That's the sin. That's what goes on. That's our weird relationship with the truth. And then finally, number three. Here's how we have a weird relationship with the truth. Our yes is not yes, and our no is not no. We pretend to like something when you don't, or vice versa, depending on who you're around. Again, that's another dashboard light coming up going, something's wrong with your soul. Something's wrong with your soul. Here's the final way that works itself out. We aren't really letting our yes be yes when we act like we like something when in reality we don't. But being nice isn't the same thing as being like Jesus. True story. True story. My sweet bride, it took me 3 years for me to finally say, hey, you know what? I kind of don't like garlic. Before that, every meal, and not every meal, every other meal had garlic.
Fresh garlic.
Fresh garlic. Crushing it away.
I
didn't really like it. But it took me 36 months to finally say, hey, why? I didn't want her disfavor. I pretended to like it. I could eat it raw. Why? Why? Again, what's behind this? What's behind this is a desire to have people's approval. A desire to not be looked down on. We're thinking we can manufacture acceptance by being around a group of people and saying, yeah, I like that. Yeah, that band's cool. Let me go look them up. Yeah, that movie, I love that scene, man. Yeah, which one? You know, the dialogue one with the guys talking. It was great, man. Yeah. Remember, the people James is writing to are bypassing the truth temporarily because it helps them to some degree. They're bypassing it. James says, don't do that. Be truthful. You let your yes be yes and your no be no. At your age, you can pretend to like this team, this movie, this band, this whatever, fill it in, mainly because the crew you're with likes it. It's really easy to do that. Really easy. Happens all the time. This is false living. And notice what James says here. You'll be under condemnation. Eternally, for the non-believer, yes. But I even think right here and now you'll feel condemnation because you won't feel like your legitimate self. You'll always walk around thinking, this is my false self. This is not who I am. There'll be condemnation for you walking around like that. So anyway, here's what we do, typically. And I'm so glad you're here. Y'all just happen to come in the one where we're like, hammering it away. So this is not how it usually gets. Here's what we do, though. If we just left it here and been like, hey, let's just break off into groups and talk about how we need to be more truthful. Let's all feel bad right now how we don't do that. That would be horrible. That's called moralism. What we do is we look to Jesus, the one who was true. So if we could, where is it? There's one more. Oh, I think I just have it written down. there's a picture of the one who told the truth for you. Because you can never tell the truth at all times perfectly. Never. But there is one who did it for you that counts in your account. Rather than weigh you down further, here's a better way. Look to Jesus. Not just look to Jesus, but look at him when you're tempted to lie, because his life counts for yours. His life totally counts for yours. So you get the credit for speaking the truth at all times, because Christ did. He told the truth, and the Father saw that obedience and said, that time when Jesus told the truth, it counts for you. That time counts for you. That time it counts for you. So John 18:33. John 18, this is the last part we'll go to. John 18:33. So Pilate entered the headquarters again and called to Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this on your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered me over to you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world, of this world. Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come to the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate then said to him, what is truth? There's this it's a great picture. This earthly king who's got everything going for him, all the regalia, all the stuff on, it just says power, it just says everything, I got it going on. And then you have the real king, bloodied up, back just tore up. You probably can't even recognize him, but he's the real king, and he's right beside him. And the one guy who's got everything going for him is searching for answers. What is truth? What is truth? And Jesus kind of says, well, what do you think it is? Jesus, in a moment where stretching the truth might have given him some more time, spoke the truth. That moment could have given him more time. He could have just messed with the truth, said whatever he needed to say, and been out of there. But he stuck with it. He spoke the truth. And where did it take him? It took him to a cross. And on that cross, he switches with us. My life for yours. I'll be treated like the one who lived a life of nothing but lies, and you'll be treated like one who only spoke the truth. That's what's going on in the gospel. You will be treated as if you've spoken the truth at all times by God the Father. I will be treated as if I've done nothing but lie my whole life. That's the great switch. And the only way out of this is this. When you really start to get the amount of love shown on the cross, you won't need the strength to stretch the truth. When you really get how loved you are by the God of the universe, you don't need to feel the need to go, let me exaggerate this. Let me act like I like this. Let me just stay home because I don't want the uncertainty of hanging out. You don't need to do that. So, you won't need to do all of that. You won't need to do that dance if I really want to hang out. Never mind, I just had something come up. You'll be free enough to speak the truth because you're absolutely loved. The God of the universe switched identities with you, with his son. So you won't need to have this weird relationship with the truth. Let's pray. We're going to break off into little groups. The guys stay here. The girls go into the parlor. Parlor. Big boy is down for the count. Okay. God, thank you so much for this. Thank you for your word. We do pray, God, for a good conversation. Thank you for the snacks prepared for us. God, I pray for those who are in this room, students who are on their last week of school. May you give them refreshment, energy to see this all the way through. Let them not give up. And God, I pray for us as people who are called to speak the truth. Lord, it's so easy to stretch it, exaggerate it, do all this other stuff. But God, I pray that we'd be people of the truth. Correct us when we're wrong. Thank you for Jesus who spoke the truth for us. And Lord, just be with us for the rest of the night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.